It's my podium. I'll get that. I'll get that. That's great. Thanks a lot. It's loose down here. Yeah, I know. That's what the weekend has been all about. Let it be Jesus. That's what these shirts symbolize here. Guys, we've had a great weekend, haven't we? It is. It's been such a blast for me to hang out. Here's what I've seen, and let me just share this with the Summit family, with our guests here today. When we do say it's all about Jesus, you know what that means? It means we're going to pour our lives into kids. We're going to love those preschoolers. We're going to invest in children. We're going to let students know how God wants to use them to make a difference, not just in the future, but today, to be leaders now. And I just want to speak on behalf of Summit. We're going to give our best to you guys. And we can't wait to see what God's going to do in you and through you. And I want to thank all those who helped out this weekend. I got to see it firsthand. All those host homes that took care of the kids, lent their homes, gave their time. If you wonder who they are, just look around. They'll be the ones taking a nap during my message because they're a little tired after a full weekend. For you connections classes that provided food all weekend long for the kids, you did an awesome job of serving and volunteering. For those of you that gave your weekend to what went on, and it just reminded me a little bit of last weekend because the same thing happened with the fall festival, with everybody volunteering. So I just want to say to you guys, I'm really proud of you, and I'm excited about what that's going to mean in the future. God is doing a great work. In my class, I had a breakout session with the 9th and 10th graders. I just had a little over an hour with them. I asked a lot of questions, and I wish you could have heard their answers. Incredible insight into the Scripture, incredible insight into how to be leaders and to make a difference, not just in the future, but in today. So God is doing a mighty thing there. And we're talking about footsteps, footprints that are worth following. Living a life so that if someone follows after us and they step where we are living, then it's going to be a good path for them. That's been the focus of our series, and we're nearing the end of that. But we're talking about being faithful Christ followers so that if people follow our example, they're going in a good direction. And so we're going to look today at what that lifestyle looks like. We might even call it a resume. What is the resume like of somebody who is a faithful Christ follower? I believe one of the greatest examples in the Scriptures of that is Philip. And that's the story that we just heard read from Acts chapter 8. But before we identify some of those characteristics, we need to recognize which Philip this is, because there are several Philips in the Bible. It is not the Philip who was chosen to be one of the original 12 disciples. It's a different one. It's a Greek name, so he's probably from that heritage. He is the guy who is chosen back in the 6th chapter of Acts to be one of the guys who provides food for the Grecian widows, to make sure that they don't get left out of that process. He's chosen among a group of men who are faithful, filled with the Spirit, filled with wisdom. He's chosen to do that, to give bread to the widows. But giving physical bread is not enough for Philip. He also wants to reflect and give the bread of life, to tell them about Jesus Christ. He's not satisfied with just the physical. He wants to jump into the spiritual as well. And I believe that he provides some footprints that are definitely worth following. What is that going to include? What does that life look like? Of all the 6 that I'm going to share with you, the first one is going to surprise you the most. And I hope stretch you as well. What is that quality? The faithful Christ follower grows with persecution. It's necessary to grow to the level that Philip has followed. Look at verse 1 of the 8th chapter. We didn't read this earlier, but it speaks about what's going on in that first century Christian world. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Right after Stephen is martyred, killed as a follower of Jesus, persecution really infiltrates Jerusalem. And the result of that is that almost all of the believers are scattered from that area. They leave Jerusalem, the apostles stay there, but the rest of them are scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, when they are scattered, what do? Do they run and hide? Nope. They refuse to take it easy. Instead, they continue to share the gospel. Look at what Philip and his team do in verses 4, 5, and 8 of that 8th chapter. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now that word preach again, that's not like I'm doing behind a pulpit. It means they proclaimed him in life. They went through life and they naturally shared the gospel. Wherever they went, it says. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and preached the gospel there. So there was great joy in that city. And my friends, that's what the gospel brings. When we proclaim it, it brings joy and inner joy that can exist even in the midst of persecution. Philip, along with many other first century Christ followers, are persecuted and forced to move on. The technical term for this in missions is called the involuntary go. In other words, they didn't choose to go to the places that they went. They went there because they were persecuted and they had to move on. But did they forget their primary assignment? Not at all. They chose to continue to share the gospel. And what's the result? The more that people hear this good news, the more joy there is experienced and present. And that's what will happen in our lives. I want to tell you a prayer request that I cannot pray for. And we hear it often because I'm trying to follow the biblical example. I cannot pray that followers of Christ will not be persecuted. I cannot do that because it's a necessary prerequisite for authentically following Jesus Christ. And you and I can hardly even relate to that concept. And maybe one day we'll get there. Hopefully we will. Because that will mean that we're being faithful to Christ. Here's what we're promised. We are promised in the Scriptures that obedience to Christ will lead to opposition and persecution. It is a guaranteed byproduct of authentically following Jesus. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes? Look at verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is our reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Guaranteed. Paul shares this with Timothy, his son in the faith. In 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12, here is what he says to Timothy. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It doesn't say some people might or missionaries will. It says everyone. So what that means for us, spiritual warfare, opposition from others, and even persecution are indicators that you and I are being faithful as Christ followers. They are indicators that we're on the right path. Back in June, I traveled to a Sharia law country in another continent. And I can't name that because this message is being recorded and it will be shared. Because it's in a country where it's illegal to convert to Christianity. And the people who are there of another religion say that if we find people like that, we're going to get them out of here, either physically or forever, by killing them. Those of you who give financially to this ministry here at Summit provided help for the people you're about to hear. A special opportunity for key leaders from this country to gather, to encourage one another. I went through about 3 days of leadership training with them to encourage them. And by the way, this is the 10th time I've done that there. And every single time I teach, I talk to them about persecution because they are facing it every single day of their lives. And by the way, we also provided, as a body, copies of God's Word in the Arabic language that can be distributed to any people who are hungry for spiritual things. And thousands of copies of His Word were provided and distributed. And it all happens because you have chosen to give. And after that, this team went out to share the gospel. I want to share the fruit of that time. And I want to share with you an email that I just received 7 days ago from our key leader there. And you'll get a little bit of humor with this because I spelled it just like he did. Dear Brother Pastor Scott, worm greetings. That's his wording. Spell check didn't catch that one, I guess. Worm, yes, worm greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am very happy to hear from you. Thanks so much for being a true friend. We are doing fine. Look at this next sentence. Concerning the ministry, we are blessed by strong persecution. Just think about that statement. We'll come back to that. Satan put us under a great test to compromise our ministry. We have security and financial challenges to go out and do training and encourage the leaders and the believers outside this particular city that he named. But we are victorious in the Lord. I am so inspired by these words that I highlighted earlier. He says, we are blessed by strong persecution. That's why these guys are my heroes. I am so glad that my brothers and sisters in this persecuted area have not backed down because of the opposition that they face from others. They are seeking to be loyal and faithful. And let me share with you, can I, the fruit of their labors, of which you have a part because of your partnership in the Lord with them? According to the reports from the leaders all over the country, there is a great harvest. About 700 new believers have come to Christ. And 302 new house churches have begun. You see, they can't meet in buildings like we have. They would be targets. They meet in homes and apartments and buildings. He finishes this email, the good news has been spread in many villages. And this week, I'm going to share with our leadership, with our prayer team here at Summit, as well as the Summit servants, the specific prayer requests that they have sent to us so that you can continue to intercede for them. And I'm going to tell you this as your leader. This is my promise to you. I will never back down from sharing the gospel. Never. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what happens. I will never compromise the truth. No matter what happens in this community or in another part of the world, I will never back down from my Savior who gave His all for me. And I want to encourage you to consider standing strong for Him, regardless of what comes your way. Because if you do face persecution, you will grow and you'll have footsteps that are worth following. Here's another characteristic of a faithful Christ follower. You can take a deep breath. It's going to get a little easier than what I just shared. The second one is this. You're going to be willing to volunteer for tough assignments that God has for you. There are going to be some tough ones for you. Are you willing to say yes to those volunteer assignments? That's what Philip does. Look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. In the first part of Acts 8, Philip has been in the midst of this great movement of God. It's an awesome spiritual revival. Lots of people are coming to be Christ followers. It's an exciting time. And you would think that God would say, Philip, keep going where you are. Let me take you where all the people are. Look at all this joy. We want it to be everywhere. But suddenly, God has a tougher assignment for him. There are two roads that lead from Jerusalem to Gaza. One of them is safer, and a lot more people travel on it. The other one, very few people travel on because it's dangerous, and there are a lot of bandits there. God says to Philip, I want you to go to the road less traveled. Philip, I want you to take the tougher assignment. I've got a more difficult challenge for you. It doesn't make any earthly sense. It's going to be tougher. Fewer people are going to be there. But here is what I find. When we're really wanting to follow Christ in a devoted way, he is going to present some tougher assignments to us. He's going to make it more difficult. Why would he do that? Think with me. If the assignment is easy, you know what we tend to do? We say, hey, I can do that. No problem. Piece of cake. Let's roll. But when the assignment is much bigger than us, when it's tougher than anything that we can handle in our own strength and ability, that's when we tend to lean more on God than ever before. And that's when we connect with his power source. And we're able to find that victory because we're leaning on him and not just on me. And then when the victory comes, guess who gets the credit? It's not us, but it's our Lord God, the one who deserves the glory. And by the way, when we accept these tougher assignments and when we go down that path, we're going to grow a lot more than if it's easy. You want to grow more? You want to learn about the power of God? Be willing to hang in there and accept the tougher assignments that God gives you. And then others are going to follow in some pretty good footprints, aren't they? It's going to be a good path for them. Philip also models for us another great quality. And it has to do with our attitude towards the unreached. We need to pursue those. We've got to go after those who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we do when we're faithful. We pursue the unreached, those that don't know Christ yet. Isn't that what Philip does? Look at what he does in verses 29 and 30. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And notice what happens. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. He didn't crawl. He didn't limp. He didn't walk in a normal way. He ran. I think there's a reason why. But let me tell you the background. God tells Philip to go hang out with a man from Africa. A different continent, a different region. This man has come from the edge of the known world, south of Egypt. In fact, it's in the area now known as the Republic of Sudan. Identified as an Ethiopian eunuch, but geographically he's from that area we now know as North Sudan. And he works for a woman with the title of Candace. That's not her name. That's a title, like we would call someone Caesar or Emperor or King. He's coming from this territory. He's working for her. He's got a good career. He's doing very well in life, but he's hungry for something more than just a title, for something more than just income. He realizes there's an emptiness in his life. He's seeking after something. We can say someone. He's hungry spiritually. There are people like that everywhere. Sometimes we don't know it. This guy, it was pretty obvious because he was reading from the scriptures. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. I want to ask you today, to pursue the unreached in your worlds. It could be a family member. Who's God placing on your heart? Make a list, either mentally or physically, and pray for them. Those are your assignments. It could be a friend from school, students. It could be somebody in your neighborhood, somebody that's on your dance team, somebody that plays ball with you, somebody that plays music with you. Who is it for you? Is it somebody in your neighborhood? Person X that you haven't met yet, but this week you will, and God places them on your heart. Will you pursue them just like Philip does? Take a genuine interest in their lives. Get to know them. Be listeners. You'll notice that Philip ran up to the chariot, like I said. Here's what this tells me. The chariot's probably moving. You're going to have to get moving too. You can't just stand still and wait. You can't sit in church. It's time to get up and get hungry about reaching the unreached. Philip runs after this man from what is today the Republic of Sudan. Are you running after someone who is unreached, loving them, praying for them? And when Philip catches up with the African man, he moves quickly to the most important topic of all. Notice what happens. Focus on the Word. That's where it starts. Because the Word will always lead to Jesus. The faithful Christ follower always prioritizes and focuses on the Word of God. How are you doing in that area of your life today? That's the only way to create footprints that are worth following. Look at verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That's what happens when someone begins to read the Word of God. It's always going to end up heading towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I find it so amazing. Isn't it astounding that this guy coming from North Africa has a copy of the book of Isaiah with him? He must have gotten that in Jerusalem when he went to visit, searching for spiritual things, hearing that that was the center, the place that you can find out more about God. And it's there that he gets a copy of God's Word, and he's reading what we know today as Isaiah 53, the great prophetic passage about Jesus Christ, verses 7 and 8. Look at these verses. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. This man from North Africa really wants to find out who this guy is. And in this simple story, we have two lifetime examples that we need to follow. If we're going to establish good footprints, here's what we need to do. One, we need to read the Bible and seek the story of the gospel of Christ. And we need to do it regularly. It needs to be part of our diet all the time. And second, we need to teach the Bible to others. All of us. Not just connections teachers. Not just leaders in the church. Not just elders. Everyone. All of us can teach the Bible. We can do both. The Bible needs to be a daily part of our lives. How's that discipline going for you? Are you in the Word every day in some way? And when we learn from God, we have the privilege of teaching those truths to others. It could be a friend. It could be somebody in a class we have. It could be somebody in our family. Somebody else. We can teach the Word. You don't have to have the title to do that. And by the way, that's going to be the purpose of disciple makers. You've heard about that going on. It's just for small groups of same gender people to get together, to look at the Word and to grow together. If you'd like to be a part of that, Lee mentioned that earlier. The group is meeting this afternoon. And what do we see in the life of this Sudanese man? He's a part of the story as well. It doesn't take long for him to produce footprints that are worth us following. What happens? He becomes a Christ follower and immediately becomes obedient about something that he needs to do. So the faithful Christ follower models and encourages immediate obedience. Don't wait. The time is now to be faithful. In verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Now, we don't know for sure how long Philip and this Sudanese man are talking. We don't know for sure. My guess is it's hours that they're talking, because they cover a lot of territory. Philip tells the man about Jesus. The man decides to become a Christ follower as they're sitting in the chariot. Philip obviously then begins to teach him about next steps of obedience, because when he sees water, he points over there and he says, "Hey, there's some water. What's keeping me from being slam dunked? I'm ready. Let's go." Immediate obedience. I like that, because then that leads to even more growth. They stop the chariot. They go down into the water. And this new believer is baptized. The scriptures teach you don't have to wait a long time to be baptized after you become a believer. My guess is that this man has probably been a follower of Christ for an hour or two, and then he's baptized. If you haven't taken that step yet, don't wait to become a biblical scholar. Choose obedience immediately. And as you do that, you will grow. And it also needs to happen in other areas of our lives. This week I was reading this dynamic quote from a father in the faith, Oswald Chambers. And here's what he says, that when a believer obeys God's word, this is what happens. That second, that instant, the supernatural rush of the life of God invades him instantly. The dominating power of the world, the flesh, and the devil is paralyzed. Not by your act, but because your act has linked you onto God and His redemptive power. I like that concept. Right away, the life of God invades us when we're faithful. And we get to be linked in to God. You probably get a lot of invitations on your email, don't you, to join in the LinkedIn team? I get those every single week. Well, right now, you're receiving a new invitation to a different kind of LinkedIn this morning. Get linked in to the power of God. Connect with Him and His resources, because you're obedient to Him, and you'll feel the rush. You'll have joy. It'll be special. And let me share one more characteristic of the faithful Christ follower. He or she never stops sharing. Never stops sharing. Sharing what? Look at verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled around, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So what happens after this life-changing time between Philip and this North African man? They part company. They go different ways. The eunuch, the North African man, he goes back home. I believe he very well may have been the first missionary to North Africa to take the gospel back there. Acts 1:8 is being fulfilled. The Great Commission is happening. Christ's followers, they've gone to Jerusalem, they've gone to Judea, they've gone to Samaria, and now they're going to the end of the world as they know it. What does Philip do? He doesn't take a vacation. He keeps on sharing. Most people, I'm going to say this, see if you agree with it. Most people who carry the label of Christian never tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. This has been my experience in more than 30 years of ministry experience. Most people who carry the label never tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. Why? What's the hang up? One of our faith family members asked me about this a couple of months ago when we were talking about this in one of our messages, and I thought about it this week. Here are some reasons I believe keep us from sharing the gospel. What I hope this will become for you is some food for thought. And in your connections classes next week, when you talk about this passage of Scripture, I want to encourage you to discuss these issues among yourselves. Be transparent and honest. And then challenge each other. Be thinking, follower of Christ. When was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus Christ? Here's some of the reasons we don't. One, we fear rejection, don't we? Sometimes we're afraid we're going to be rejected. Keep this in mind. If people reject you because you're sharing the gospel, it's not really because they reject you. They're rejecting Christ. You and I are the messengers. All we can do is be faithful. And yes, there will be rejection. But don't take it personally. Number two, we don't know all the answers. Are you ever concerned about that? That sometime you're going to be talking with somebody and they're going to ask you something and you won't know how to answer it? Let me just tell you, you're never going to know all the answers here. I don't know all the answers. We just have to keep pointing them to the one who does have all the answers. And if we do that, that's enough. How about the third one? We're concerned about what they're going to think about us. And my simple statement there is, get over it. It's not about us, is it? We don't matter. God does. How about number four? We don't know the message to share. I find that to be the case a lot. Well, we're providing that for you. It's online. It's on our website. Just link on where it says becoming a Christian and learn that story and be willing to share it with others. Memorize it. Number five is the tough one. We just don't love God enough. And we just don't love people enough. Every single person on this planet is created to live eternally. And it's either going to be with God or it's going to be separated from Him. Do we love people enough that we'd be willing to share with them that good news? And how about God? Think about it. We tend to talk about the things that we love the most, right? And that we're passionate about the most. We talk about our children and our grandchildren and our friends, our hobbies, our favorite sports teams. We do that all the time. Where does Jesus fit in if we really love Him? And if we don't speak about Him, what is that an indication of? That we don't love Him enough. Could our silence about Him communicate that we really don't love Him enough? Walk closely with Him and be amazed by Him and keep sharing Him. So which of these qualities of a faithful Christ follower has really stood out today for you? What has the Holy Spirit said to you about something that needs to change, something that needs to grow? A willingness to face persecution? Would you be willing in this land where it almost never, never happens? Would you keep on your heart those who are facing it every single day of their lives? Would you be willing to volunteer for a tough assignment? God may have been stirring you on in some fashion, but you've been kind of holding back for whatever reason. Is it time now to say, yes, God, with your strength and power, let's go? Would you be willing to pursue someone who's unreached? Would you run after that chariot today and tomorrow? Would you make a greater commitment to the Word today? You've kind of let it go, but now you're convicted and say, now I need it more. I've got to get into it, and I've got to teach others. Is God inviting you to follow Him? to be obedient to Him, to be baptized as a Christ follower? Is there some other obedient step that He's inviting you to take? It's His call in your life. What might that be? Maybe it's to share the gospel with somebody else. Father, we're ready to hear from You. We're asking for You to give us that individualized assignment. We do want to be faithful. And God, I know as I've studied this passage this week, how convicted I have been about changes that need to happen in my life. And I just pray that You'll help me to have Your power to take those steps. And God, I want to pray for everyone here that the same thing will happen. We're asking You to speak, God, and we're asking You to change us. And we want to do it for Your glory. So it's through Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to be having our response time in just a minute where we're going to listen to the Spirit. And let me just emphasize again, the most important thing is how things change when we leave here. But it can start now. It really can. I'll tell you what's been on my heart. Did you see the video for Operation Christmas Child? It's hard to think about Christmas. I just can't even get there, but we got to think ahead a little bit, and it takes a while to get all those shoeboxes to other places around the world. But when you're coming up with your Christmas list, would you start it today and be willing to put together a shoebox for a child somewhere else in the world who can just receive some small token gifts from you, and in that, the gospel of Christ will be printed in his or her heart language? And they'll be able to understand that message and know that somebody loves them, not just physically, but also spiritually. I know we've got to hustle because we haven't done ours yet, but we're going to do it. We're going to be a part of that. Pray about that. The receipt of those is next Sunday. I just pray we fill this place up with a bunch of shoeboxes that can be passed on. I want to invite you to something you can read about in the bulletin. This is going to be important for Summit's future. But on Sunday afternoon, December 7th, basically a month away, we're going to have a church-wide covered dish deal right here in our worship center. And we're going to have fellowship across the board. All ages are going to gather together. We don't do that very much. But in that, I'm going to share with you an important part of Summit's vision for the future, that we need you to hear and we need you to be here so that you can join us in that. We're going to be sharing that. It's going to be a very exciting evening. Please mark that on your calendar. It's 5 o'clock. Details are in the bulletin. Don't forget disciple makers. Again, reading the Word, teaching the Word. Maybe you'd like to be involved in that. And you'll notice that at the end of this series, the last message is going to be a celebration of sorts. But I'm going to expand it because if you've looked at it already, it says we're going to give a report of our trip to India. But it's going to be much bigger than that. We're also going to report on the other outreach efforts, both in our country and around the world. It is going to be an awesome celebration of the work of God through His servants here. It's going to include the Builders for Christ outreaches. It's going to include the student trip to Hawaii. I know that's been called a local mission trip. It's not. It's been international. There's more international focus there than there is what we're comfortable with here in America. We're also going to talk about a trip that was taken to a country in North Africa that'll be shared that day along with India. So you pray about that. It's going to be very unique. It's going to be creative. It's going to flow, and it's going to give glory to God. Today, what's God asking you to do? Maybe today He's inviting you to become a part of the Summit family. Maybe to follow Christ in baptism. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you or for you. We're always here for you to do that. Love to invite you to stand with us as we head into our response song. And if God's leading you to make any decision public, feel free to share that with us today.